Hello, this is Steve Fuller. I'm a professor of social epistemology at the University of Warwick. The question before us today is, what is epistemology and why is it important? Epistemology is the branch of philosophy that is concerned with the nature of knowledge. Now, why is knowledge such a philosophical problem, you might ask? Well, we don't really need knowledge unless we already begin by lacking some kind of crucial aspect to reality. In other words, knowledge is about making up the difference between our own starting point and the way the world really is. And so in that respect, knowledge is a very important thing, but also a very controversial thing, because we have to ask questions about, for example, are the ways that we pursue knowledge the same under every circumstance? In other words, is there a privileged way of getting at knowledge? And here is where something like science is often put forward as an answer. In other words, with science, we actually have a kind of unified way, at least in principle, of being able to acquire all the knowledge that we need to understand reality. And that any knowledge that we already have, in some sense, can be explained or reduced or subsumed under science. So that's one kind of possibility. Another possibility, of course, is to say that the kind of knowledge that we need in order to be able to make sense of reality is actually quite specific to the circumstances under which we live and the sorts of people and other beings that we encounter in the world. And this kind of perspective is more closely associated with what philosophers called relativism. And that's the idea that the knowledge that you need is relative to the circumstances under which you need to understand reality. And so there's no expectation here that there is some kind of larger, ultimate, unified picture of reality that all knowledge somehow has to be consistent with. So in different aspects of life, in different realms, in different domains, you can actually have different forms of knowledge that may contradict each other if you move beyond those domains. And that's relativism. So there's a sense in which you have these two kinds of perspectives on the table, one that is about a very unified conception of knowledge. In other words, we really don't have knowledge unless we have a kind of theory or understanding that comprehends everything, versus a view that knowledge is quite particular, quite relative to circumstances, and that one doesn't expect such a unified picture. And so the history of philosophy in terms of this issue of epistemology has basically been about these two general perspectives, and they have been played out in various ways over the course of the last 2,500 years. Now, I think a few issues suggest themselves. Namely, first of all, why is it that we don't have a unified conception of knowledge if that's kind of what we need to have? Okay? And there have been many different sorts of arguments that have been made, but all of them have in common the idea that we have to sort of overcome certain kinds of liabilities that we have in terms of our default ways of understanding the world. And what I mean by that is that if we just rely on our ordinary senses, if we just rely on common sense, if we just rely on how taken for granted views, perhaps, views that have been very strong traditionally, that get passed on from generation to generation, maybe what we might call prejudice, that this in fact can block us from getting a more general, more unified understanding of reality. Now, this kind of perspective was actually very important in the establishment of the social sciences, insofar as the social sciences were promising to provide a science of humanity as a whole, regardless of the different races, the different classes, the different genders, and all the rest of it. And so there was a sense in which you needed a kind of special way of understanding the world that went beyond just the default understandings that people had just through ordinary education or the ways they were raised by their parents. And so this is how we get social science. And social science has moved in many different directions with regard to the way in which it pursues knowledge. There we have different approaches, and I think it's worth pointing out the strengths and the weaknesses of each. And I will only do it in a very short kind of compass, given the amount of time that's available. But the first thing to say is, as you probably know if you've studied any kind of methods, that there is a distinction that is drawn in the social sciences between quantitative and qualitative methods. Now, the thing I want to say first of all about quantitative methods is that this is the kind of methods that, let's say, that would take seriously something like voting as a way of understanding what people think and what they want to do, that will take public opinion polling, survey research, whether it's done for purposes of marketing or for political purposes, take this kind of way of getting knowledge about human beings seriously. Now, whatever you think about this way of doing business, as far as epistemology is concerned, one thing that it has going in its favor is the fact that it treats every individual as one. Now, what that means is two things. First of all, it neglects perhaps the power relations that exist between those individuals. But on the other hand, it equally recognizes that each individual counts as at least one and no more than one. And so from an ideally democratic standpoint, the quantitative approach has a lot to recommend it. But unfortunately, we do not live in an ideal democratic world, and consequently, it becomes important to use the qualitative approaches, which often reveal the kind of hidden power relations, reveal, as it were, perspectives that otherwise would be suppressed because of those power relations. And it's under those circumstances that you can then, as it were, redress the balance, and you can sort of go against sort of the default patterns of thinking that people often have in society, whereby, as it were, the voices that are most prominent are the ones that know the most. Whereas, in fact, knowledge is distributed much more equally across society, but it actually takes research to be able to determine that fact. And this is where, in fact, qualitative social science research has been very important epistemologically in revealing sources of knowledge in society that would otherwise not be available. Now, having said all this, there is still this question at the end about whether all of these different forms of knowledge that one reveals by talking to people, interviewing them, interacting with them, and giving them a voice that they would otherwise lack, how does that all get integrated together into some sort of larger form of knowledge that we might call social science, that in a way gives it a kind of focus and direction? And this, it seems to me, is the ultimate kind of epistemological question that faces the social sciences, even after we have done the empirical research both on the quantitative and the qualitative levels. And I think I'll stop here, and I think that's enough for you to think about.